Time for Sports Lit 101 right now, though. And Bruce, a book that you are very excited about.
This book is something special. And I want to start out by asking you a question about history. Who was the first, what was the first franchise to be called the Charlotte Hornets?
I don't know. Was it
the World Football League? Upton Bell was the owner. And do you know why they were called the Hornets?
I do not.
This is a piece of history I did not know, because General Cornwallis referred to the area around Charlotte as a hornet's nest.
Ah.
Now, I never knew this. I've been a sports fan for a long time. This book is called Present at the Creation, My Life in the NFL and the Rise of America's Game by Upton Bell. Now, Upton Bell is the son of Burt Bell, and Burt Bell was the first commissioner of the National Football League. And he took it on at a time when he was just really himself getting interested in pro football. He had been the quarterback for Penn in the 1917 Rose Bowl. He loved college football, and he loved an actress by the name of Frances Upton, who had been was engaged to somebody else. And he sort of managed to woo her, and then she convinced him that pro sports were where it was going to be. And like many people of his age, no, once professionalism comes in, crime will come in, blah, blah. Well, he ends up becoming the most devoted guy, and he got some of his money from Francis, who had a successful Broadway career and a film career. And he went on, along with people like Art Rooney, to really establish the National Football League at a time when World War II is interrupting play and the league is coming and going and teams are coming and folding. Paul Brown starts the AAFC as a rival league. And Upton Bell is the guy that pulls it all together. In fact, during the I did not know this, but during World War II, there was a team called the Steagles.
Oh, yes, I did know that. Yes.
I did not know that, but Art Rooney and Upton Bell, to keep a team alive, combined their two teams. And throughout the early NFL, there was a lot of goodwill among owners that they would help a guy out. If a guy needed $5,000 to make payroll, they'd get it to him. And Upton Bell, who was Burt Bell's son, tells that story from a firsthand basis. Now, his dad died in the stands watching a game.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
At Franklin Field, where he had his great success when he was commissioner. And unbeknownst to anyone, except a few well-to-do Philadelphia bankers, he was in the process of trying to buy the Eagles back because he wanted to be an owner more than he wanted to be a commissioner. And this book goes through a long period of time and it comes right up to the present, and we'll talk a little bit about what Upton Bell did himself in football. But the number of people that come in and out of this and the stories are fantastic. Now, Upton Bell was given a chance to work by Carol Rosenblum with the Baltimore Colts right after his dad died. He has an interesting relationship over the years with Rosenblum, but he is there during the great Unitas years. And learns football sort of as a guy who starts out in player personnel. He basically invented scouting. He was the guy that really invented scouting in the NFL, and traveling around and establishing himself at colleges. And because he was very progressive socially, he was one of the first people to really go to the traditionally African-American colleges, Grambling, Prairie View, Texas A&I. And he built the scouting network for the Colts, and that was what made the Colts becomes so good. But he also tells the story of exactly why Joe Namath is not to blame for beating the Baltimore Colts, but that Weeb Eubanks, because he knew the weaknesses of all the players because he had been the coach of the Colts
right
before, and Shula was not left with a full house other than Unitas, really was the key to that game. And it's a fascinating period in the book where he dissects that. Bell goes on to become a WFL president, WFL owner, and he always wanted to be an owner. But what you learn is he's arrived at the time when football men stop being owners and businessmen become owners. And only the guy in Texas, who I don't even like to mention because I think he's such a jerk, is really the only guy that he had any kind of real connection to football who's in ownership today. And he hasn't had any luck since he got rid of Jimmy Johnson, who was the only guy that could bring him to the Super Bowl, who was a football guy. And three quarters of the book is up to that point in Bell's life. And of course, he's known to most of us in New England as a radio and TV talk show host. He was around with, and a guy who was the GM of the Patriots when Billy Sullivan and 17 other people were all making the decisions.
Yeah, and a pioneer in what we do in sports talk when it wasn't even a thing with Bob Lobel and Calling All Sports back in the late 70s.
Yeah, and which was great. And, you know, and he came in at a time when Guy Manilla was starting to roll out of it, and he had been a real presence. And he didn't want to do fanboy football. It's so amazing to me, Rich, to read this and think about the things you've been saying and other people that we admire have been saying about what makes for good sports talk radio and what makes for junk. And he never wanted to get into one of those you scream, I scream kinds of shows. And he really did bring an insider's look at football. There's a great section here where he compares Brady and Manning. Who's the better quarterback? Who's the better quarterback, Brady or Unitas? Who's the better quarterback, Unitas or Sid Luckman or Sammy Baugh? Right, and it's really good. And he's going to come down with Unitas number one, and one of the other guys and New England fans will be happy number two. But the thing about this book it is incredibly readable. And I just wanted to quote from Bob Ryan on the back of because this is perfect. I could not have said this well. Upton Bell did not grow up like you and me. Your father was not the NFL commissioner who created the draft model now followed by all professional sports. Your mother was not a Broadway star. His parents were each of those things. You were not a 30-year-old GM of a pro football team or a radio and TV host. I can say with certainty you have not met the people he's met or had the experiences he's had. And no offense, I doubt you are as funny or insightful as Upton Bell is on a variety of topics. It's an extraordinary life story of a unique individual. The epilogue alone is worth the price of the book, and that is really true. The epilogue is, I don't know how many pages long, maybe a dozen pages long, and it's just like Ray Fitzgerald's old columns in the Globe where we're just a quick line here, a quick line there. It's some of the best stuff I've just ever read in my life. It is
well,
so
he was great. Bob had him on his podcast a few weeks back, and it was unbelievable.
And, you know, it's just real short things like many of the greatest lessons I learned about race were on the playgrounds of Philadelphia. Later in the 60s, I saw the worst when I scouted the South. I will take to my grave the admiration I have for the African-American players of the 60s and 70s. Domestic violence was always present in the NFL, but years ago there was no social media around to expose it. The NFL is still trying to tiptoe around the issue instead of confronting it. These are these pithy little things. And the thing is, he's got the facts. He's got the backup. This is not up for debate. Upton Bell was there.
Right.
And a fascinating look at rating the greatest coaches of all time, talking about how really he and his brother were perhaps responsible for Chuck Knoll getting his first big break. And you know, arguably, Chuck Knoll has four Super Bowl rings with one of the greatest teams of all time. Really, really interesting, but a very sad commentary on the Goodell era and, well, I would say actually the post-Rozelle era. He really was disappointed when Tagliabue won out over a football guy and they went with the lawyer and how he thinks that so much of the NFL's problems today are brought on by just total greed, just absolute greed. And
they're right.
And he backs it up. I mean, it's not just someone like me saying, well, I think they're a bunch of greedy SOBs. I mean, he backs it up with insight, and it's great, and it's not one of those, you know, college professory books at all. It's very easy to read.
Present at the creation, Upton Bell with Ron Borges, right?
Yeah, with Ron Borges, but what I did some research, and Borges really only edited the big manuscript down. This is something that Bell really did himself.
Well, that sounds great. I can't wait to read it, and we're going to try and get Upton on the
show.
Yeah,
I'm going to contact the press and see if we can't get him on the show because I just wanted one of his stories to be worth the price of it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure, sir.